For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark and read from chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 35. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 35. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? May God bless the reading of his word and let. It was a beautiful day, a blessed day that the disciples had spent with their Lord and their Master, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had taught them many things by parables. They had learned a lot. They heard the parable of the sower and the parable of a seed growing in the ground and it growing and them not even knowing how it does that. And the parable of the mustard seed. And then the verse that was previous to the one we began with says, But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So what a blessed day that was. A wonderful day. The Lord was teaching. The disciples were learning, and he was teaching many things, and they were learning. But then he was going to take them into a ship and really give them some good learning that they would not forget. And so it says that when on that same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. You heard the teachings. The Lord Jesus is saying that I expounded all things to you. Now let's get into the ship and let's go to the other side. And the Lord Jesus goes to the back of the ship, puts his head on a pillow, and falls asleep. And meanwhile, the storm kicks up. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The Apostle Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were fishermen. They had seen storms. They had been out on the water many, many a time. And now they're in this great storm, a great storm of wind. And they're seeing the water splashing over, up, and into the boat. And the Bible here says that the boat was now full. Full of water. Water everywhere. Where's the Lord? He's still sleeping in the back of the ship. And so they go to him. And they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not have any anxiousness of that the boat is about ready to sink because it's full of water and the storm is great? And so he arises and he rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, Peace, be still. It may have even sounded foolish at the time that he was saying that to the disciples. What do you mean you're speaking to the waters? You're speaking to the storm. You're speaking to the wind. But he says to the sea, he rebukes the wind. He halts the wind. He lets the wind die down, or the wind dies down because of his rebuke toward the wind. And then he says to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. The wind stopped. Just as those devils came out of individuals where he cast them out. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. A great calm that fell over the water, placid, like glass. Where moments earlier it was raging. And then so he turns to them and he says, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Did you not remember the teachings that I gave you in this day about having that seed that could be sown in good ground, where that seed would not be hindered by the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches or the lusts of other things entering in, that it would choke the word and it become unfruitful?" So he's speaking to them and telling them, "How is it that ye have no faith?" And it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They were amazed, truly amazed. They were astonished. They marveled. They saw the work of God, and they marveled. And so again, Peter had seen many things in his lifetime of what the Lord had done in those years that they spent together during Jesus' ministry. And so later on in life, Peter writes in his epistle, it's recorded in 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Peter understood this. Peter understood that if in that moment when they were in the boat, that they could simply just cast their care upon the Lord and know that he cared for them. And again, Peter had probably seen this over and over in the time that he had spent with the Lord during those years of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we could just simply cast our care upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. Whatever that storm might be. This was a physical storm upon the waters. But Peter knew, and the other disciples knew, that we can simply just cast our care upon the Lord and know with certainty that he cares for us. He cares for us. In this life, there will be many cares that will come our way. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Sometimes they come one right after another, the cares of this life, the afflictions of this life. Sometimes they come in twos and threes, the cares and the afflictions of this life. We have to expect them. We live on a cursed earth. We have to expect that afflictions will come, that the cares will come. And if we can expect them, then we know what to do. We know where to take our cares and where to cast them and who it is that can handle all things. But what happens? What happens when cares come our way? Perhaps the same thing happened with the disciples in that boat. They didn't wake up the Lord right away. The storm was raging. The water kept coming in, and the water kept coming in. And perhaps they were trying to bail the ship. Take the buckets of water and dump it out. Perhaps they were trying on their own, and then they realized, well, no, this is bigger than us. Let's go call on the Lord. Sometimes that happens perhaps in our lives, that we think, oh, here's a care, here's a affliction, it's coming my way. I've got this. I'll reach out to my network. I'll call some people. I'll text some people. We'll put a plan together and we'll execute that plan flawlessly and we'll get through this. Doesn't that often happen? Where we hold on to our cares and think in our pride that we can do this. We can handle this. And then we realize, oh, wait, no, this is bigger than us. This is bigger than me. I can see my inabilities. I can see my incompetence. And then what happens? We have anxiousness. We have those cares. The cares that Jesus is saying, cast them upon me, for I care for you. And so we are to take our cares and we are to cast them upon the Lord, knowing that he does care for us. So in this verse here that Peter wrote, casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. Breaking down some of these verses, some of these words in the verses here, casting. Casting means to throw forcefully, to throw forcefully. We can take our burdens and cast them and throw them even forcefully from ourselves and bring them upon the Lord, upon him. And then there's this word care in here, casting all our care upon him. The Greek word for this definition of care is having anxiousness. Mirimna is what the Greek word is for this care, this definition of care. And then it says, because he careth for us. And that's a different definition. It's melo in Greek, which means that he takes an interest in us. It's not an anxiousness, it's an interest in us. So if we look at that verse again, that we can take all our cares, all our anxiousness, and cast it, throw it onto the Lord, because he has an interest in us. Because he cares about us. He wants us to be at peace, and he wants to love us. And so we don't have to take our burdens upon ourselves, but we can cast them upon the Lord and have that faith and assurance that he will care for us. He will take care of us. And then when we cast it upon him, we can then see his great ability. We can see the great things that he can do, knowing that with the Lord, nothing is impossible. The Lord Jesus calmed the seas. He rebuked the wind. He took it all away. And then we can place our care upon him. And we don't have to worry. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't have anxiousness. When we have anxiousness, we have this affliction, this difficulty, this care in our minds, and there's nothing else that we can think about. We ruminate, we think about it, and it cycles, it becomes circular in our mind over and over. And Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious. Don't have care. Take no thought for your life. Further, he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. The Lord knows what our needs are. He knows our inabilities. The Lord wants us to humble our hearts and pray to him and cast upon him in faith, to bring all our cares and all our concerns to him in faith. That's what the Lord wants of us. The Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So a care comes, an affliction comes. One by one, two by twos, they come. The first thought should be, is I don't have to bear this. I can take it to the Lord. I can cast it upon him, and I know that he cares for me. I'm certain of that. The Word of God says that. And so I can bring it before him. And so I'll just go and I'll pray to him in humility, bringing my care to him, and then know that he has it. He has it. And he will perform wondrously. Oh, the liberation we have when we can cast away our cares, that we don't have to care over them. We don't have to have anxiousness, but we can trust in him and bring it before him in humility. In humility. It takes humility. And actually, the verse that Peter wrote here, casting all your care upon him, it's actually only half of the sentence. The first half of the sentence is in the verse before. The sentence begins, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is how the Lord will help us. When we humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God. He has a mighty hand. He can do great things. With the Lord, nothing shall be impossible. He can say to the water, peace, be still, and it obeys him. We can humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God because he can do great things. And then it says further, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so we ought to come before the Lord with a humble heart, and then in faith, just bring it before him and know that he can accomplish great things. He'll do it his way in his time, and we can simply rest in him. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." This is a promise. This is a wonderful thing that we can come to the scriptures and know that the eternal God, the one who inhabits eternity, the one who has no beginning, no end, who lives outside of time, that eternal God, he is our refuge. He is the one that will help us. He is the one that will keep us from all harm and from all evil. The eternal God, he is our refuge. And then it says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord Jesus would bring up children into his arms. And we know that we can be safe in the arms of Jesus. And so let's take that promise that the eternal God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's take that promise and come before the Lord. And, you know, from our young days in Sunday school, we would sing the song of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We can bring all things in prayer unto him. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Why would we forfeit peace? Why would we hold on to our anxiousness? Why wouldn't we just cast our cares upon the Lord and allow him to work through that and do his almighty work? Even as he did on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples in that evening. The psalmist speaks of giving it over to the Lord. In Psalm 37, it says, it's a psalm of David. It says, "Fret not, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." These are the things we can do in the Lord. And he will help us. And he will bless us. And then Jesus also says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. They all have a number. And then he says, therefore, fear not. Fear not. The Almighty, the eternal God, he is our refuge. He is the one who helps us, and he keeps us in his everlasting arms, in his almighty arms, in his capable way. And so we humbly pray to the Lord when cares come, when the afflictions come. We humbly pray to the Lord and cast our cares upon him. Then what? Then we go forth in his ways and labor in his kingdom, knowing that he has this issue and he's going to take care of it. But on my part, I'm going to simply labor in the Lord, labor in the kingdom for his honor and his glory. In Titus we read, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed," those who have faith in God, those who put their trust and their confidence in God, "they which have believed in God might be careful." Might be careful to what? What are you going to put our mind on? Not in terms of anxiousness, but what are we going to have an interest in? The mellow, the Greek word. What are we going to put our minds on? We which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so we cast our burdens upon the Lord, and we go forth and we do good works. We build the kingdom. We continue to labor for him. And we walk in the Spirit. And we please him well in all things while we wait on the Lord. And this is what it's going to require on our part, is that we wait on the Lord. and then we wait some more. The Lord in his timing and in his way, knowing that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, the Lord in his way, in his timing, will do great things. Will do great things. And we will see them. We will behold the mighty works of God. We will see the great things that God has done, even as the disciples in that ship on that evening beheld and saw the mighty works of God. Even so, when we put our trust in the Lord and we wait on him and we have committed it all over to him and we take away our anxiousness and we've given it over to him, we haven't forfeited our peace, that we will see that the Lord will do great and marvelous and wonderful things. We have the ability to mess up situations pretty badly when we do things on our own. But when we behold the mighty works of God and when we wait on him, he will do great and wonderful things. And then we can say with the prophets of old, this is the work of God. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous. We see this is clearly a God thing. We didn't have any part in it. It wasn't part of our plan. God did this. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's a wonderful thing. This is what God is doing. God did this, not myself. We behold these wonderful works of God. Then we worship the Lord. We worship him for all things which he has done. And the Bible speaks of the time when Jesus was with that woman at the well. And they had that dialogue. And Jesus says to her, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." This is what God is calling us to, that we would worship him with all of our heart, in truth, that we would not have any carnality, that we would have nothing of pride of ourselves, to think that, I can do things, but that we would simply worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and magnify his name because he does great things, because he cares for us, because he is the eternal God. He is our refuge, and he upholds us with his everlasting arms. Perhaps if there's one thing that you would remember from this morning is Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will help us. He will keep us. He will bless us. Ours is to serve him. Ours is to labor in his kingdom. Ours is to worship him and place all our trust and all our care into his care and keeping, and having faith that he will do great and marvelous, wonderful things. Then, after the Lord has done great and marvelous things, when he has done his work, and we've worshiped him, then we witness. Then we witness. The disciples were before some of the those that were there, Caiaphas and Alexander and the chief priests and all of them, and they were commanded not to teach at all in the great name of Jesus, the one who is Lord. The one who was man so much that he was asleep on the pillow, and so much deity, fully Lord, that he calmed the seas. Peter and John say, after they were told not to teach at all in the name of Jesus, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Then he says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They witnessed. They witnessed. They spoke of the things that they had seen and heard of the Lord. They spoke of how they were called. They spoke of the transfiguration. They spoke of how demons were cast out. They spoke of how a multitude was fed with minuscule resources. They spoke of all these things, and certainly they spoke of the things which they have seen and heard when they were out on the water in this evening hour. After they had heard the teachings of the Lord, and all things were expounded unto them throughout the day, and they were on the water then in the evening, certainly, though it's not recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, they had witnessed to the things that they had seen and heard, and certainly they were sharing the story wherever they were, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, or wherever they were from the uttermost parts of the world, that there was an evening that they were out on the water. And the wind was great, a mighty storm of wind. And it was, the boat was full, and we were trying to bail the boat out of water. And we weren't successful. The water was sloshing around in the boat everywhere. Then we woke the Lord up, and all he said was three words, "Peace, be still." And the water just became as glass. Certainly they were speaking of those things which they had seen and heard and witnessed of those things. And likewise, when we humble ourselves, pray to the Lord, and cast our burden upon him, and believe in faith that he will address these afflictions in my life, these trials, that when we see these things, when we behold the mighty work of God, that we worship him, and that we likewise would witness. I had this trouble. These were the circumstances. It was very difficult for me. I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. But then I trusted in the Lord. I humbly cast it all upon him. I threw it upon him. And then he, who was able, took an interest in me. And he bore me up in his everlasting arms. And he helped me. And I have peace. And Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is our God. He loves us. He cares for us. He does all for us. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is where our rest comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from any other source. It doesn't come because we know people or we can reach out to our network. No, our rest comes from Jesus Christ. He will give us rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of him. He was teaching them about the parable of the sower. He was teaching them about how the seed grows, and night and day it grows and nobody knows how. He was teaching them about having that mustard seed of faith and then it growing to be a large tree such that the fowls of the air can lodge into it. He was teaching them. And so he says, "Learn of me." And then he says, "For I am meek." Nothing great happens. Nothing great long-lasting happens when we go forth in our pride and say, "I'm going to do this because we feel it's right in the Lord's eyes," or however, in my own eyes, we go forth in pride. That's not the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." You shall find rest from your souls. There's so much political drama. There's so much conspiracy theories. There's so much evil in this world. And we can really get anxious about a lot of these things. But Jesus says, "You'll find rest for your souls. You'll find rest in your souls in Jesus Christ." And then he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.